We'll work on it and try to sing it if we possibly could. And, you know, Wednesday night's a good night to practice on songs. And also a good night to do debuts. Not debuts, but how do you say, help me, debuts. Well, I don't care, whatever it is. Just first time singing, how's that? Okay, open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. It's not the first time I got tongue-tied, not the last time I get tongue-tied. And trust me, it's been a lot worse than that. Before we started pastoring, I went and preached this one. We was preaching somewhere about two or three times a week, filling in churches, and probably filling in about nine churches. I got tongue-tied one time. I think Chris about crawled underneath the pew on me, me trying to dig myself out of it. But 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul is referring to the last days. And I know many of you have thought about the last days. Many of you have heard many messages, and I preach many messages from this portion of Scripture here. I won't zero in on just a portion of verse number 5, but I want to read the first 5 verses, if you don't mind. And I'd like, for you to keep this thought in mind, if you would. Someone asked me one time, they said, when are the last days? Well, we can definitely say we are living in the last days, because the last days began when Jesus ascended up to heaven, and he promised to come back. And the last days that it's referring to here is waiting for his return. And so we are waiting for his return. And Paul, he thought that it was going to be maybe even in his lifetime, because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he said that we, talking about we, that some of we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air when the dead in Christ comes back with him. So he had a concept that he might possibly even be alive when Jesus comes back. John had an idea that Jesus might come soon too, because he said, come quickly, Lord Jesus, one of the last prayers that he prayed. Then you had Peter as well. Peter was talking about looking for that day. There in 2 Peter chapter 3, and he was looking for the day. That's been 2,000 years ago, and we're still looking for the day. There are some signs, I think, and some things that he's given us that we can. The Bible reminds us that the days will be like the days of Noah. Days will be like the days of Lot. And surely we can see a lot of similarities in the time right now. The thing that scares me most is people that has religion and no salvation. Yep. Right. And there's a lot of people that has religion right in our churches. Amen. And they don't have salvation. And the sad part about it is, one of these days, when it's too late, and they hear those grave words, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, I never knew you, it's going to be too late to change things. And everyone seems satisfied in the day in which we live with a little religion, even though they don't have salvation, even though they claim to have. You know, close to 8 or 9 out of 10 people in the America claims to know God. 2/3 of them claims to be born again. I think if really we had 2/3 of them really born again, I don't think our country would be in the shape it is right now. Amen. I'm confident of that. But I want to show you something tonight, and I hope it'll be a help to you. And I want to zero in on something, but let's begin reading in verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now I do believe that we're living in the latter times of the last days. I believe that. But where it talks about perilous times, it means dangerous times. It's dangerous not only because of violence and threatenings and dangers like that, but they're going to be very trying times, very hard times in a lot of ways. The Bible says that they're going to ever be learning, ever be learning, verse number 7, ever learning, but never able to come to knowledge of truth. The Bible also says that knowledge shall increase in Daniel chapter 12, that knowledge will be increased and many will be running to and fro. And truly, we can see that happening. But we would have to admit that the days in which we live are very dangerous days. You know, I was thinking about the guy who went in Colorado and shot those people. Things could happen anytime. Just had a good friend of mine, hadn't seen for a long time, hadn't been around him for many, many years, but a guy I went to school with that was a good friend then, he was shot to death last week. You never know what's going to happen. You never know where it's going to happen. You never know how it's going to happen. But the Bible, not only are they dangerous days, but the Bible also has made that they are determined days, that evil is not going to get better. It's going to wax worse and worse. This idea of you going to a liberal utopia is a figment of their imagination and shows how spiritually ignorant they are.
Amen.
We're going to a place where we just keep digging deeper and deeper. People says, why would God let that happen? Because they are rejecting God. They want their form of God, like Brother Eric's been teaching in Sunday school. They want a form of God. They want their idol of God, but they don't want the true living God. And because they reject the true living God, then they reject God. Now, notice here that he deals with some things, and you all would probably agree with me. For the most part, the morals in this country are gone.
That's right.
Washington, D.C. has set an example that nothing is out of bounds anymore.
Yep,
and as I said, there's nothing that just makes me so nauseated than to see that guy walking around with a dress on in the Capitol.
Yeah.
It shows you how immoral this administration is.
Yeah, that's right.
When you look and you see how that the morals have gone, our country pride has gone. Used to be a time when there was patriots. Anymore, people will sell the country for nothing. All they want is what they can get at that moment. They don't care about the next generation. Did you know that was Solomon's sin? Solomon's sin, when he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, you know what Solomon's sin was? He cared more about himself than he did for his own children, the next generation. And we are selling this generation out. You know all these checks that everybody's celebrating and hopping up and down about? Young people, you guys are going to have to pay for it. Now, I'm afraid that you're going to go through some hard times trying to get some of this debt paid off when the smoke clears and somebody says, pay me what you owe me. As a matter of fact, what we may be doing is we may be speaking a different language and carrying a different signs around. But look, if you would, verse 2, he begins to tell us what kind of deeds, what kind of character we'll see in the people in these last days and latter times. First of all, he says, for men shall be lovers of their own self. In other words, they'll be a very selfish people. And they'll be their own gods. They care more about themselves than do God. And you know, this modern church age, what these positive preachers is doing is they come in to build self-esteem, and they come in to try to build self-image and self-worth. They don't preach. They never preach against sin. Had one guy, one of the big churches here, the pastor tell me one time, said, I'd have your pastor preach. And when I was going to church somewhere, he said, but he preaches too hard against sin. I thought, boy, that's a good testimony. But the problem is, in the day in which we live, people are lovers of their own self. They don't care about anything but themselves. Not only that, and by the way, I believe what Paul's talking about is religious people claiming to be saved people. The Laodicea church is going to be in the same situation. They're going to be a bunch of lost people claiming to be saved people. Otherwise, I don't think he'll be spewing them out of his mouth. I don't think he'd be wishing they was either hot or cold. You know, someone cold away from God, you can reach. Someone hot for God will be on work for God. But someone lukewarm doesn't even realize that they have any needs. They don't know how wretched and poor and blind that they are. Stay with me a minute. Covetous. Covetous, lovers of money. They're thinking now, all they have to do is keep sending a little check every now and then, and everybody be just happy with everything. Boasters, bragging, empty, pretense, proud, overestimating their self-worth. The Bible said when a man thinking he'll be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. Blasphemers, defiant, bitter toward God. Do you ever notice how anymore he was preaching on taking the Lord's name in vain? Do you ever notice how loosely people does that anymore without any worry about it whatsoever? Yeah. I don't know about you, but when he was talking about it, I was thinking, boy, my ears hurt every time I hear that. Yeah. Disobedient to parents. I was having to deal with a matter last night, and one of the fathers jumped in, and instead of saying, son, you need to obey by the rules, he just wanted to teach his son to defile the rules. I said, the rules are the rules. He said, well, it offends me that you say he's breaking the rules. I said, well, it offends me the way you're talking to me. So we're all offended. But you just got to get over it. The point being is the rules are the rules. I said, if a cop pulls you over 75 mile an hour and 45 mile an hour speed limit, are you going to tell him you're offended that he pulled you over? I said, when you break the rule, you got to be responsible for the rule. But I'm going to tell you something. If children can't be obedient to the parents, they're not going to be obedient to any authorities. Not only that, but notice unthankful. It's the time when there's no gratitude. There's no gratitude toward man or God. I've said for a long time, many of the people that we've done the most for in this church has been the first ones that showed ingratitude and unthankfulness. Usually what they want, not what you did for me yesterday, what can you do for me today? And you know the people have the same attitude toward God. The Bible says unholy. Unholy means profane, wicked. And by the way, that comes from a state of their heart. That's where it comes from. No decency, no modesty, no purity. Look on, verse 3. Without natural affection. You can relate that to families. You know, what kind of affection can a person have that can walk off and abandon their children? What kind of affection can someone have that can abuse little children? What kind of affection can someone claim they have when they can abort little children? But in the same token, without natural affection, men leaving the natural use of women and going toward men, and women with women working that which is unnatural. No natural affection. I just don't get it. I do get it. It's a state of the lust of the heart. Not only that, but notice here, truce breakers won't keep promises. You ever run into people that promise you something and lie to you? Just won't keep them? Not only that, incontinent. Or false accusers. False accusers is slanderous, trying to hurt someone's reputation. Well, I know some people claims to be saved that does that all the time. But look here. Did you know this is sort of the same word that they identify the devil with as a slanderer? I can tell you where that comes from. When you try and tear other people down and slander other people's name, you know where that comes from? It don't come from God. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit don't lead you to do that. That's the devil leading you to do that, or your old flesh. Look on. Incontinent, without any self-control, no self-discipline. Fierce, that means being untamed, brutal, just acting brutal with animal instincts. We see a lot of that anymore. Not only that, despisers of those that are good. Within the church, but traitors in their own country. It's the craziest thing I ever saw in my life, to invite traitors into your country, just waiting for them to do something disastrous to your country. How foolish can you be? Heady, that means to be reckless, rash in your actions, acting without any thought. You ever see any of this stuff in church? Look on. High-minded. Again, a false sense of oneself. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Just going to hit on this once and I'm going to leave it. What does it say? When people can go anywhere they want to, do anything they want to. I've had people say, well, I never miss my child's ball game. Well, why aren't you coming to church? Why do you miss church? Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. But look at the last one, verse 5. This is where we're going to park at. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now, I want you to think about this a minute. Having a form, form means that they have a semblance of godliness. They claim to be saved. They claim to have salvation. But notice here what it says. It says having a form of godliness, but what? Look back. Denying what? Now, let's get on this denying the power thereof. And I want to focus on this just a minute. Now, notice as well, the last part of verse 5, what does it say? Huh? From such, turn away. We are living in a time when everything is getting where people want you to accept it in the church. Universal acceptance, political correctness. How many of the churches, so-called churches, have adopted and have crumbled to allowing homosexuals in the membership and in the pulpits? How many have succumbed to women being pastors and preachers in the church?
Amen.
Religion says it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you go to church somewhere. Religion tell you as well, it doesn't matter which church you go as long as you go to some church. Religion tell you as well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere in what you believe. You ever hear this? Oh, doctrine, no, we don't preach doctrine. I asked somebody one time. They want me to join in with a bunch of group people, all different faiths. I said, listen, what kind of doctrine are we going to preach? Oh, we won't preach any doctrine. I said, how can you preach without doctrine? The Bible says, preach the word.
Amen.
Be in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort for all long-suffering and doctrine. Or with all long-suffering and doctrine. In other words, when I preach, I have to use doctrine. They say, oh, doctrine divides. Love unifies. That sounds good, doesn't it? But the Bible said the time will come when people wouldn't endure sound doctrine. It does matter where you go. It does matter what you believe. There's a lot of vain religion that's going to die and go to hell, and people sit in the pulpits, members and even ordained members of their clergy that's going to die and go to hell with religion because they did not have salvation.
Amen. That's right.
Now let's look at this just a moment. Religion is where they have religion without the power of change that we preached on Sunday morning. Now, Sunday morning, we preached upon how God has changed us when we got saved. Now, I want you to notice here, look back in your Bible a moment, and notice that word, but denying. The word denying means to refuse, reject. It means to contradict. And what he's telling us is that they spend time denying, rejecting, contradicting the word of God, the truth. In other words, they don't like the truth, so they're going to change the truth. Listen, you can tear out all the pages in your songbook with blood on them all you want to, but that don't change the fact. It's still the blood that saves.
Amen.
And you can take out all the songbooks and tear out all the pages that refers to us as such a worm as I, and we are still worms, and our worm will die not, amen, if we die and go to hell in our sins. And you can tire out all you want to, all these things. You can quit preaching repentance. You can quit preaching hell. But it won't change one word that is already settled in heaven.
Amen.
That God has already proclaimed.
Amen.
But what this religious group in the last days are going to do is they're going to reject truth. They're going to deny truth. They're going to contradict truth. And what they're going to do is they're going to try to change truth. You look in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, the Bible said, who changed the truth of God into what? Lie. In other words, there's a bunch running around and saying, if you preach that two men getting married is wrong, you lie. And you can't come to our church and preach. You know what they've done? They've turned the truth of God into a lie. The same thing that was happening in Romans chapter 1. When God gave up on a bunch of them like that. And he gave them over to reprobate minds. And they're dying, go to hell, and split hell wide open.
Amen.
The word thereof. That's an interesting word. Notice, look. It says, but denying the power thereof. Now, think about this. Let me share with you this little thought with thereof. Denying the power thereof. The power thereof is defined, and it's sort of similar to what our autonomic nervous system is. Our autonomic nervous system, did you ever play Simon Says? If I had these kids come down here, I'd say, now Simon Says, lift your hand. What would you do, guys? Lift your hand. And see, you do that because you think about what you're doing. In the autonomic nervous system, you have some things that you do that you don't think about. Pump blood, pump blood, pump blood, pump blood. I don't walk around 72 times a minute and tell my heart, beat, 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 beat. It's automatic. It's part of my autonomic nervous system. It does it for itself. I don't walk around saying, breathe, breathe, breathe. I don't do that. But now if I say lift my foot, I have to lift my foot. But I don't have to tell myself to beat my heart. I don't have to tell my lungs to expand. I don't have to tell blood and blood gases to exchange from my blood to my lungs and back and forth and deliver off waste and carbon dioxide and bring in oxygen and nutrients and send to all parts. It just happens. It's automatic. Now, notice this in your Bible again. Denying the power thereof. Now, I want you to get this a minute, and I want you to understand. Their argument is, in this new liberal religion, in the last days, the argument is that salvation doesn't have to change you. It doesn't change you. In other words, you can get saved, you can be a sinner, a lost sinner, as a homosexual, and come and get saved and still be the same homosexual, defying and being an abomination inside of God. Can't do that. Salvation always comes with a change. Always. We talked about that Sunday. Anytime you see salvation happen to someone, you always notice there's a change. So first of all, you need to understand salvation, when you get saved, there's a powerful experience that happens to you. Would you agree with that? A change takes place. Now picture this a minute. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new what? New creature. So first of all, you have a conversion that happens the moment you believe. Now, stay with me a minute. I want you to get this a minute. The moment that you accepted Christ, the moment that you received and in faith turned to Christ, this happened. You had a conversion take place. That conversion was automatic. You didn't say, God, now do this. Renew my spirit. Make my spirit alive. Put your Holy Spirit inside. It just happened. Now, the power of salvation is this. When that conversion happens, and by the way, when someone gets saved, there's always that change and conversion that happens. When it happens, then there's some things that happens automatically when you're saved. One is you change your life. And you don't even think about it. It comes from within. It comes automatically from your automatic spiritual system. His spirit has now come into your life, and you don't have to be told to come to church. You don't have to be told certain things, because as a Christian, and now you've been saved, all of a sudden there's been a power that comes into you. And as a matter of fact, the gospel of Jesus Christ is a power of God unto what? Salvation. So here they have a change of life. Did you know something else? They also have a change of mind. Paul talked about in Romans 12, 2, of renewing our mind. Can I tell you something? The moment that you got saved, look back at the moment you got saved, from that point on, you have been changed. I don't care whether you do it or not. It changed you. No one can go through that powerful experience without being changed. It's automatic. Not only is there an automatic change in your life, there's an automatic change in your mind. You think different. You think different than the way you used to think. And then the reason why that you want to be around the preaching of the Word of God and so forth, the more that you hear it, the more it renews your mind and gets you thinking different things and bringing you more into the obedience of what Christ would have you do. So we have not only an automatic something that changes their life, but we also have something automatically that changes their mind. Also, did you notice that your desires change? You know why we're here? Something happened to us a while back. And something that tells us we ought to be here. Now, not only that, but the world, what they want is they want a salvation that is without conversion. They want a salvation that doesn't change. And you know what? That's exactly what religion gives them. It gives them something that they can claim that they got something, but it hasn't changed them at all. It hasn't changed their life. It hasn't changed their mind. It hasn't changed their desire. And they're still capable of doing the same things, thinking the same way, and having the same desires. I don't believe that's what happens. I believe that when you got saved, I don't know about you, but I can testify, it automatically happened in my life. I don't have to tell it. I don't have to walk around every Sunday. I don't have to wait and say, Sunday, taught myself to go to church. Yeah, it's Sunday. Time, maybe I need to go to church. I don't have to say, maybe I need to go. I say, I need to go. And if something happens, I don't go. You know what the Holy Spirit says? If I was able to go, what are you doing here? Why aren't you over there? I don't have to ask it to do that. It automatically does that. You know why? It's part of my autonomic spiritual system. The one that comes with getting the power thereof. And so now remember, they deny the power thereof. They deny the power to change lives. Amen? Somebody said, well, I can't help it. That's why I tried to get all these people that's hung out on all this AA stuff. It's not 12 steps to get your problem solved. It's one step to Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, when you take that step and you take it and you truly turn to Christ, you don't have to worry about being a drunk all your life. God can save you from it. He can clean you up. Not only that, but knows this. They also want this religion that denies the power thereof. They want something that's got a spirit without conviction. But the Bible tells us in John chapter 16, verse 13, 14, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. In other words, you have something inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit of God. It's sensitive to sin. Would you agree with that? It convicts you about your sin. It deals with you to change your sin. You know how you grow spiritually? Look here. Every one of us is at different spiritual levels. We start as babes, and hopefully we grow and mature. But as Paul pointed out to the Corinthians and some other places, that and in Hebrews, that sometimes they ought to be teachers and they're still babes. But Luke knows this. What happens is this. Now, Brother Junior, how old are you now? You care to tell me? 75. Now, Brother Junior at 75, he still has a sin in his life that easily besets him. I don't know what it is. I'm not even going to ask him. But I bet he probably knows. And each of us probably have one sin that probably battles us more than other sins. And the Holy Spirit of God works on us on that sin more than anything else probably. But this is what happens. When we grow spiritually, it's not when the preacher has battered us to mark like or walk like he does and talk like he does and do exactly what he does. But when the Holy Spirit, that small still voice says, yeah, that's you. That sin. And so what he does is he won't let you rest. He bothers you. He convicts you. And then all of a sudden, somewhere along the way, he keeps convicting you to a point where you say, Lord, I want to give it in your hands. I want to give it up. I don't know. I've had people say, preacher, I can't ever give that up. And I say, oh, you can. You can. And so what happens is when you take it there and then you give it up with the leading of the Holy Spirit, then it brings joy to your soul because now you have joy because you have grown in the Spirit. And the Spirit has helped you overcome a weakness and a shortcoming, that sin that besets you. And by the way, don't get too huffy because about the time you get that and take care of, there'll be another around the bend waiting on you. But look here. That's part of growing spiritually. Now, what this group does, this end of time that denies the power thereof, they want the Holy Spirit. They want to be able to dance and jump around and sing and just play any kind of music and do anything they want to do. Look any way they won't look. And claim that God's all over it. But look here. They don't want the power
of the convicting power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
They don't welcome it.
And what the Holy Ghost does is this. It's part of your autonomic spiritual system. Did you ever notice since you got saved? You don't have to walk around to you, Matthew, and say, Holy Spirit, convict me of sin. You start to do that, and Holy Spirit says, what'd you just do there? Or you say that, and boy, the Holy Spirit says, did you just hear what you said? Now, you represent me. Now, what do you mean talking like that? You ever walked over and said, man, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that to you. Holy Spirit just whips you. You don't have to ask for that. It automatically comes with it. That's part of your spiritual package. When the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you until the day of redemption, that means that the Holy Spirit of God is in you and it convicts. But this religious group, they want the Holy Spirit without any convicting power. They can live any way they want to, have any lifestyle they want to, look any way they want to, do anything they want to, say anything they want to. You say, how does these people lead these big groups of people so deceived? Because they are pleasing their flesh. They're lovers of their own self, and they're enjoying what's going on in their lives. But they don't have to submit control unto God. They still got control in their own life. They can do what they want to, go where they want to, and act any way they want to. And it's okay. All they have to do, I remember one time, I don't know who was with me. Maybe somebody here. Chris may have been. We went up to Capitol. And man, this church was up there, and they was hooping and hollering and carrying on, and they had the crowd going over. Was it alcohol?
I believe.
Yeah, Ten Commandments. And boy, he was just going down. He had the whole group going. Then we stopped over and eat somewhere where they was eating. Every one of them sitting there just slugging drink after drink just as fast as they could drink it. I thought, boy, that looks good. But now look here. Not only that, but also they want a scripture that has no commandments. Brother Eric's been preaching about commandments. Look, if you would, in 1 John chapter 5, real quickly. In 1 John chapter 5. Notice if you would, in verse number 3. For this is love of God. By the way, he shed his love in our hearts when we were saved by his Holy Spirit. That we keep his what? And his commandments are not what? But you know what? They say, you're legalistic if you claim commandments. But what they want is, they want a scripture that has no commandments. You know why? The word of God is the final authority. It doesn't matter what you say. Let all men be liars. Let God be true and all men liars. So if you go contrary against this word, if Brother Junior, I love Brother Junior, but he goes contrary against his word, he's a liar. If she does, she's a liar. If you do, you're a liar. And what you need to understand is this. What they've turned into now is they've turned the truth of God into a lie, and they don't want commandments no more. They don't want conformity to the Son of God. And the Bible says that's why that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, is he allows things come into your life to help conform you to the child, to be like the Son of God. And they don't want that. They don't want any conformity to the Son of God. They don't want any conformity to the Word of God. What they want to do is pick and cherry pick the things that sounds good, and they want to dance around those things, and then they want to leave out all the rest of the stuff that has commandments and has bite with it. Denying the power thereof. The Word of God is powerful. It's a sharp two-edged sword. It cuts you. You know what that means, Linda? That means sometimes when I preach the Word of God, as you read that, the Holy Spirit of God cuts you with a knife and says, boy, that's you. It happens. Now, not only that, they also want a security of going to heaven and security with Christ without any true conversion. And it's amazing. And so, I mean, without any true cost, is what I meant to say. But look here. The Bible teaches that when we get saved, there will be a cost. There's a cross we have to bear. When Jesus said something harsh, the crowd turned and walked away. He looked at his disciples, will you go away also? Where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And look here. This religious group in this last day, they don't want conversion. They want the security of going to heaven without any sacrifice on their part whatsoever. So when you look at this little phrase, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. What that means is this. People who want a religion. You say, how do we know? The Word of God judges them. Not you. But you can look and see what they're claiming and what they're doing. Let me end with this. If I have a woman, and women has their places in church, but if I have a woman tonight stand up here and come say, just want to let the church know, God called me to pastor this church. I say, you're lying. Who you think you are, judge me. I didn't judge you. 1 Timothy chapter 3, judge you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, judge you. And I could go on. If you had someone that come up and said, preacher, God's called me into this ministry. Yes, I'm a homosexual. But God's called me in the ministry. I said, you're a liar. How do you know? Leviticus 7:17, Romans chapter number 1. Yep. Do I need to go on? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9-10. Do I need to go on? So what you need to understand is this. When you got this group, they got religion, but they deny the power thereof. Stay away from them. Stay away from them. They're not going to do you any good. And can you answer me this one question? Now, I think, Brother Cliff, I think the craziest people in the world, as a matter of fact, Paul says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we would be of all men most foolish if we lived our whole life and the resurrection wasn't real. But wouldn't you be foolish if you lived your whole life making a pretense and then dying, go to hell, being that close to the Word of God? But when you see the Word of God, when you don't like it, what you do is you want to change it. Reject it. That's why the Bible says, from such turn away. And these last days is going to be full of it. And I tell you what, you can find it in your Baptist churches as well as other places. So be wise. Let's stand. Get a song, Brother Jesse.
Page 23.
Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. That speaks volumes. Listen, when you don't like what the Word of God proclaims, there's a problem, because what the Holy Spirit would do is this. It will guide you in all truth. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.
Well, I